I am bringing the Night Pants Nation tour to Boston, March 31st to April 2nd, and Minneapolis, April 28th through the 30th. Get your tickets for those shows and all shows at ryansickler.com.
The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to the Honeydew, y'all. We're over here doing it in the Night Pants Studios. I'm Ryan Sickler, ryansickler.com, Ryan Sickler on all your social media. I want to thank you guys, as I do every week, for watching, for supporting. I can't thank you enough. This community continues to grow, and I love my job, man. You guys have made a huge difference in my life. So one thing you can do to help out the show, if you're watching, hit that subscribe button, subscribe to YouTube and the Patreon. Man, that show's not going anywhere anytime soon. The stories are unlike anything that's going on out in comedy out there right now. That's for real, all right? It's $5 a month. If you sign up for a year, you get over a month free. You get the Honeydew a day early, ad-free, at no additional cost, all right? If you or someone you know has that story that has to be heard, please submit it to honeydewpodcast@gmail.com, and hopefully we can do an episode of the Honeydew with y'all, all right? Night Pants Nation tour continues. I'll be in Boston March 31st through April 2nd, and Minneapolis, I will be there April 28th through the 30th. That's the biz. You know what we do over here? We highlight the lowlights. I always say these are the stories behind the storytellers. I'm very excited to have today's guest here. First time on the Honeydew. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Harlan Williams. Welcome to the Honeydew, Harlan Williams. Clap it up, bro. Clap it up. Oh, man.
I think I just gave myself not a standing ovation, but a sitting something.
It's a sitting something. Yeah. Man, that's great.
Yeah.
Well, it's great to have you here. It's so good to see you for real. I ran into you at the store the other night.
Yeah.
You said, I just thought about you the other day about your podcast that we did. And that was the Crab Feast, which was a great episode. Yeah. Go listen to Harlan's Crab Feast episode. And you said, we did it in your apartment. I said, yeah. And you said, you still doing it there?
Yeah. Yeah,
I didn't know. I said it feels like it, bro. But I'm still doing it there. I love you.
It was so funny because it was the only podcast I'd ever done where I was like in a big condo complex. Mm-hmm. And I had to walk back through
all
the yard
the way,
and past a pool. And yep. I think there was a couple of corpses. And it was just, I felt like, am I doing a podcast or a dinner party? Like, I felt bad that I didn't bring cinnamon squares or something. You know, I was just... I don't know. It was interesting, but we had a blast, a royal blast.
That was a great one.
We had a royal blast.
Well, please, before we get into this episode, plug everything and anything you would like.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, what I'm plugging now, I'm wearing. I'm doing this thing now where I draw my own T-shirts. And this is one of the shirts I hand drew. And people love them. I call it wearable art. And so I started a website called harbling.com.
Okay.
Harbling.com. And all I sell are my hand-drawn T-shirts.
Is the fish lure hand-drawn
by
you?
No, that's a photo. That's a special photograph shirt I did for you because you love fishing.
But I do.
But on Harbling, you know, I was selling these hand-drawn shirts from time to time. And people were loving them. And so... this is what I'm promoting are my hand-drawn shirts.
And where can you get that?
Harbling.com.
Harbling.
If you go on there, and there's all kinds of different... You get the only one. You get the original. We make prints, but you get the original piece of art, and you get to wear it. So no more brand names, just original art.
I love
art.
It, dude. Yeah. I fucking love it.
Thank you.
I mean, I love it because back in the day, I remember... You know, I mean, I'm 48, so high school, this is 90, 91...
Maybe and, even earlier, yeah.
We all wanted a free James Brown T-shirt. We made free James Brown T-shirts, a bunch of us. And we took the face. He had this crazy face that we found on the – it wasn't even the internet. We found it online or whatever. We tried to print it out and get it on the shirt. It just looked like shit.
Yeah.
You know, now everything looks so good. That looks really good and sharp.
Thanks, man. Yeah, yeah. Draw them with Sharpie, permanent markers, so you can wash the shirts. But
wait, that's drawn literally onto the shirt right now?
I drew this. Yeah, this is Sharpie.
That's not a print.
This isn't a print. This is the original.
Oh, no shit. That's
Scapula
like a
man.
It's like a wearable NFT.
Yeah, basically. And I realized, you know, we don't really talk about our scapulas that much. You know, that we have two.
Yeah, there are two of them.
And when was the last time you had a good scapula conversation? So I thought—
Is there a good one and a bad one? Like, is there a—
Yeah. So this is scapula guy, and he's a scapula. And I hope it puts people in touch with their scapulas.
And also, puppy dog pals.
Yeah.
Can we talk about it? How many seasons now?
We're on our fifth. We just started our fifth season of Puppy Dog Pals.
I love it. You're in my house all the time. My daughter watches Puppy Dog Pals, and I try to tell her. I'm like, I know Harlan. I know the guy that does that. She's like, huh?
Yeah, we'll do a voice for her later. We'll shoot a video, and I'll do Bob's voice for her.
She'll love it.
Yeah.
So speaking of Puppy Dog Pals, what an interesting segue. I had asked you to send us a little list of your lowlights, and you said there were three significant deaths, and two of those were animals, and one was a person. So I'm going to let you take the wheel here. Why don't we start? Can we start with the animals?
Yeah. You know, you have moments, pivotal moments in your life that are intense and can be emotionally hard to deal with and experience. And I don't know about other people, but, you know, a lot of times it's a pet that can really resonate with you. And I had this little puppy that I had bought, a little black chihuahua with a white crest on his chest and little white patches on his feet. Looked like he was wearing a tuxedo or looks like maybe his mom was a penguin or something. And it was weird because we'd go out for walks by the lake and he'd dive and come up with a fish. but I did name him Fisherman Bob. That was his name, Fisherman Bob, for real.
Okay.
And he was a little black chihuahua. And you know, it's a weird comparison, but, you know, in life people lose a kid. I can only imagine what it's like to lose a kid, have a child abducted or have a child die, but I was up at the house one night and, you know, I just would leave the door open and my two dogs would run in and out and play. And
how old are you at this time?
This was probably when I was about maybe 40.
Okay. Is it here in California?
Here in Cali. Okay. And I live up in the hills.
And you have two dogs.
I had two dogs and one was a bigger dog, like a husky. And then the other one was Fisherman Bob. And they'd run in and out. I'd leave the door open while I watched TV. And one night the big one runs back in and is looking a bit freaked out. And the little guy didn't come in. Fisherman Bob didn't come running back in. And I was like, oh, that's weird. They're inseparable. And I go out in the yard and I don't see him. I'm calling him and I'm like, something immediately felt wrong. You know, your parent radar goes off. And then I looked at the white dog, the husky, and there was a little splotch of blood on the front of her arm, her lower arm there. And I shouldn't say arm. Dogs don't have arms, do they?
Yeah,
if they did, I'd be getting a massage from the bastards. But I mean, we do so much that you want to go for a walk? Give me a rub down, Sally.
Wouldn't it be some shit if all long dogs could? We just never asked.
Oh, yeah. Because they get those pads, which should feel really nice. And then they get the claws where they could do, what a treat. I'd be getting the Newman's Own salad dressing out every night and just say, okay, get to work, Buffy, or whatever your name is. So, yeah, I noticed blood on my other dog, and I'm like, what the hell's going on? And so I started calling and calling, and then slowly that sinking feeling that, uh-oh. And then in the background during all this, something that I hadn't really noticed before, but I'm hearing an owl. I'm hearing an owl hooing. And every time it does, the bigger dog's like freaking out. And I'm like, what the hell's going on? So then I get the flashlight out and I start searching the yard. And now I'm yelling. And now 5 minutes is turning into 10 minutes. And then—
What time of night is this?
This is like probably around 10:30 at night. And then it gets longer. Now I'm out walking the street, wondering if he got away. And I come back and I realize something's happened. And then as I'm standing in the yard, I hear this hooing again. And the white dog flips out, starts like panicking. And I realize my little chihuahua, a freaking owl came down and took took swooped down an owl.
Man, I thought you were going to say coyote for sure. Yeah,
I thought, I wish I could.
A fucking owl took it?
Well, a coyote would have been better because a coyote would have picked it up and shook it and killed it.
Right.
So the reason it's so traumatizing is you know, I have to, I don't even want to talk about it, but you picture an owl doesn't just kill something. It slowly picks away at it and eats it alive.
You're not hearing that, are you?
I'm seeing it in my head, and I'm you know, here's this animal that's entrusted its life to you. You're its protector, and, you know, I don't have kids, so he was kind of my kid, and knowing my little dog was just slowly stripped alive, it's just, like, horrific.
Yeah, that's awful.
And people often get mad at me because that night it was a bit chilly out and I'd wrapped them in bacon. No, I do. Owls love bacon.
I'm trying.
The only way I can get through it is to joke about it.
100, that's what this show is all about.
Good.
That is what this show is all about. But hold on, let me just say this too. In your defense, out here, you know, you're from Toronto, you say originally. I'm from Baltimore. Yeah. You learn a little bit. I was freaked out the first time I drove down Coldwater Canyon early one morning and saw a coyote just trotting down the hill. I'm not used to it. I'm like, oh, it looked like a sick dog. And I'm like, oh shit, that's a fucking coyote. And then to see them in such, you know, real neighborhoods, I've heard it before. I've heard them get cats. Yeah. I've heard those. And there, I shut the door like that is somebody's cat's gone, you know? Yeah. So you do everything you can with fences, with the this is, with the that. A fucking owl, I mean, but that's an apex predator out of the sky. You ain't doing nothing about that.
Right. Yeah. And I never thought about that.
Why would you?
Yeah. I never thought about death coming from the clouds.
Airborne.
Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, to a chihuahua, that's a pterodactyl. You know what I mean? The chihuahua's is big and an owl's like its wingspan. You're in the land of the lost with a puppy.
You listen, even if you were there, you can't. There's nothing you can do. That owl's gonna fucking go, man.
And they're powerful, man. Those owls. I
have two of them that live right by me, and I'm fascinated by it. I'm sitting there one night, and I can hear them. I see them up there, so I start playing. I figure out they're barn owls, and I start playing barn owl noises.
Oh wow!
And they'll start to fly back and forth, and I watch them. And one night, I'm sitting there, I'm talking to Eva, and she's on the balcony with me. We're having a smoke, and the fucking I'm telling her, these fucking things, they come down, they fly. It was as if it was script, and she goes, "You mean this one right here? This motherfucker flew down right here and went right over us." And I was like, "Holy shit!" So I wanted to put something there to make it think there was something small there and see if we couldn't try to get.
Did you adopt
bitch.
A chihuahua?
No, I'm not gonna kill a real. I got that little puppy.
What'd you put down there then?
I found something on the internet that wasn't like an animal. It was like a home, so it would come and maybe nest there. I was trying to fucking.
Oh
make
wow!
It. I was trying to make an owl nest on my balcony.
So you're gonna
the idea.
You're gonna welcome the thing that ate my dog into your yard.
Yeah.
Okay, I see.
Yard. I live in an apartment, bro. On my balcony. Yeah.
Okay.
I see
where this is going. You let the murderer into your home.
Listen, if you can't beat him, you know what I'm saying.
You're one of those people that kind of wants to help nurture them back to not being a killer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Yeah, you know, put them back into society.
Yeah.
But that thing came so close. It's like Eva. I mean, in my mind, she's like, oh, you mean this one right here? Like she could have grabbed it by the foot. Like, even this one right here. I'm like, that owl right there.
That's amazing.
Like, it hurt. I'm telling you, they're fucking wild, those
they're
owls.
Wild, and they got those huge
and
eyes.
Chihuahua, like, what did it weigh? Maybe 7 pounds, 6 pounds? No,
that's nothing. And I never
for
made that,
that
connection. Yeah. You know, I never thought about a night predator from the sky, you know? Like, I thought if anything, another cat or another dog could get it.
Sure.
I didn't even, to be honest, at that point in time, wasn't even aware of coyotes and bobcats.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, bobcats too? Yeah, I've seen
those. Now, since the abduction and the murder, I've seen...
I'm sorry you called them. I'm sorry.
It's an owl murder, bro.
And it's an owl massacre. Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry.
Who do you think you are? Who does he think he... By the way, owls... Have you ever had sex with an owl? Because I'm just saying, whenever you have sex, you know, people's eyes usually go a little wider when you do the insertion. And owls, their eyes are already so big, you can't tell.
Oh, you can't tell.
You can't tell if they're like, whoa, you know, they're already. But anyways, I'm getting off track.
Yeah, away.
Yeah, way off track.
All right, so let's go back to this. Yeah. So you heard no noise, though, no nothing.
No noise. I was busy doing something at the time, right. And I feel guilty about that, too. I was...
Do you think the husky tried to fight, or do you think it was scared to death?
No, the husky is a hunting dog. Yeah. It's actually called a Jindo. It's a very rare breed in America, but it's a Korean dog. There's an island off of Korea called Jindo, and the king... Back in the day, they bred these dogs to be guard dogs and hunting dogs for royalty. And they look like albino coyotes. They're white and they're very pointed. And they just live. This dog would sit in my window all day and just look for anything that came on the property, it attacked. So that's why I also know it wasn't a bobcat or a coyote, because it would have been on it. So this had to have come out of nowhere. And but later on in as about a couple of years, maybe 3 years went by, I was clearing bushes and hedges, and I found Fisherman Bob's little toy that he played with.
No.
And I'm telling you, it just made me relive whole.
Did you break down?
I sort of almost did, to be honest. You know, it's like I feel guilty that was my kid and I wasn't there. And like I said, just the way that he probably went, it's just like, so that's something that really lives with me, that's tough.
Let me ask you this, Harlan Williams, because let's play it the other way around. Let's say you were there. Let's say you were standing right there and that owl flew down. Do you have an idea? Have you thought about what you would try to do? Kick, shoo? You're not shooing a motherfucking owl. It's not a pigeon.
Yeah. That.
But then, I don't mean to interrupt you, no, but I want to finish this thought. But then you witness it go. There's a real image in your head. Instead of what you think happened, what would you rather live with? Not really knowing and putting it together, or actually seeing that go down?
It sounds morbid. I wish I'd seen it just so I could know for sure, and you know. But either way, the outcome. So, I mean, the one you're talking about, I might as well, you know, sit at home and watch Jeepers Creepers. That's what that sounds like.
Either way, you're losing.
Yeah.
You're not beating an owl.
And by the way, they fly silent.
Yeah.
They don't hear them coming. They're stealth.
Yes.
So it's not like a lot of birds where you can hear the flap. They're engineered to fly silent. So they just come in like ghosts and they're gone. But, yeah, so finding that ball was just it just never leaves you, man. You feel like guilt.
You have pictures around the house?
I have pictures of Fisherman Bob, yeah.
What's the husky's name?
Captain Chili Dog.
Is it for real though? I can't make fun of you. Our dog's Princess Lily Rose.
Right?
So yeah.
That's the beautiful thing about dogs. You don't. If you
That's
give
what I'm trying to tell my daughter. Like, you don't. Yeah,
if you give them a human name, you come off as an idiot. Hey, George is here. No, how about there's seven dish layer lasagna? go throw the frisbee for lasagna.
She said to kids, she's like, maybe I shouldn't have named her that. I go, well, how many dogs do you think in this world are named Princess Lily Rose?
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's the beauty of them. You get to give them silly names.
So say again, Chili.
Captain Chili Dog and Fisherman Bob.
All right. How did Captain Chili Dog change after Fisherman Bob was gone?
Not much at all.
No?
No. She was a prima donna. So Fisherman Bob was just a plaything for her. But she was very protective of Fisherman Bob when they were alive. Like one day a pack of dogs came towards Fisherman Bob, and Captain Chili just literally walked circles around her, snapping at every dog. Like,
wouldn't
let them in. Yeah. So she loved him, but when he was gone, she was like, okay, where's my food? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's really sad the way they just, you know, moveon.com, .org or whatever it is.
Did you ever get another dog?
Yeah, I got a bulldog. I got those big, the big fat bulldogs.
That'd be tough for Al to take.
Right?
A
even a blue heron couldn't lift that off,
isn't
right?
Isn't it crazy?
Right?
That the purchase of your next dog, you had to consider whether an owl could fuck.
Had to consider an attack from the sky. Yeah. Yeah. And I thought, nothing's lifting that thing up. You know what I mean? This is the fattest damn
crazy.
Thing. I mean, this is
what
like
a
manatee with lips. Yeah. It's just like horrible.
Ain't no owl getting this motherfucker. No,
any owl that tried to lift that one up is throwing out its kidney or something. But so this new one was Sailor. I realized all my dogs have a nautical name theme, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so that was the demise.
Water, you're big on fishing.
Fishing.
All right.
Yeah. And what also I feel guilty about, too, is while they were out running around and Fisherman Bob was lifting off into the night sky.
I gotta say it like that.
Daddy was in the bedroom having a little lovemaking.
Oh, man. That's what you were doing.
And what makes it even harder, it was doggy style.
I wish there was a drone that could see you doggy style and float outside as your dog's gone out. I'm so sorry an owl took your dog.
Well, come on. I can't do doggy style anymore without crying.
Crying.
She goes, what are those drops on my buttocks? I go, those are salty Fisherman Bob tears.
Owl tears.
Now, keep riding, honey. Yeah, it's it was I feel a bit guilty about that. R.I.P.
Never have I considered, not a dog. I mean, a cat made sense to me, but I've seen those videos online too where like eagles try to take a kid and shit. You know what I mean? Like they're
that
fucking...
one was staged.
Oh, was it really?
I saw that one where they're in a park and a bald eagle. Yeah. Yeah, but it was so convincing. I actually saw the making of that.
The making?
Yeah, there was, because so many people were fooled by that video
that
somebody like deciphered it and broke it down, but it was pretty convincing.
That was convincing.
But I it's probably not out of the realm of
eagles
possibility.
Grab, on Discovery, I've seen, who knows, maybe this is fake too, but eagles grab a fucking like a mountain lion or like a smaller
mountain goat.
Yeah.
Or a fox.
Goat.
Yeah.
Yeah,
oh,
fly
yeah.
Them. Yeah. Yeah.
They're apex predators, man. They're raptors.
Man,
yeah,
I've never not. You're the only person I've ever heard who lost a dog
to an owl, flying menace from space.
Fuck.
Yeah, I did a movie once with an owl.
You did,
and I had to do a scene where an owl landed on my arm. It's called the Eurasian eagle owl. They're the biggest owls in the world.
How much is this thing weighing?
Well, that's what's miraculous about them. They only weigh about 4 pounds.
Oh, really?
They're huge because their bones are hollow. They're
most birds
are all air. So this big bird, it's like stood this tall. It lands and you can barely feel it, but it landed like this. And the handler, he said, grab the back talon and pull it. And I said, are you sure? I don't want to hurt it. He goes, it was sitting on my arm. He goes, pull it. And I pulled it and I go, oh yeah. And he goes, no, pull it as hard as you can. And I said, oh, he goes, pull it. I tried to move that thing.
You couldn't?
I couldn't budge it. And he said, that's what happens when once these raptors get their claws into something, it's a death lock. You're done.
Damn.
Yeah. So, holy smokes.
Now, did you do the movie before or after?
It was after.
Oh,
so that
God.
Was tough. That was tough.
What was harder, finding the ball or working with an owl?
It's tough. It was tough working with that owl.
I bet it was. you asked about that shit.
You're
though.
Right. But the handler was, we had to stop rolling a few times because he was like, why are you punching my owl in the face?
In the face.
And yeah, I was just like, bam, bam. And it was perched on my thing, so it was swirling around. Like it was,
never let go.
Around me, and it wouldn't let go. And I'm just like, and then I poked it in those big fucking round eyes, and I got a little payback. Yeah.
All right. Okay, hold on, let me gather myself.
God.
That is a very unique way to lose an animal.
It is. It's tough.
I know other people out there are going to be. There's definitely somebody out there that's going to probably share a story with you.
I hope
that.
So.
Maybe an owl. I think an owl is going to get another animal.
I think we could have like an owl group therapy thing or something.
Tell me about the second animal.
Wow, the second animal. You know, the second animal was a mixture. Because it was devastating to me, maybe even more than Fisherman Bob.
Was it after?
This was before. This was probably 3 years before. And
I'm sorry, did you have Chili? What was his name again?
Captain Chili Dog. No, I didn't have any dogs at this point.
Okay.
This is, I just moved into my first house in Hollywood up in the hills. Okay. I was leasing it. And on the back of the house was all forested area and hills and all this. Again, back to, you know, animals and stuff. And I was in my house one day and I could hear this high-pitched chirp, almost like, you know, when a smoke alarm battery starts to go and it does a beep, beep, or whatever it is. And I kept hearing this thing and it was coming from the yard. And I go out in the yard and I'm zoning in and I look around and I find a little baby squirrel. Like just it's fallen out of the forest and it's laying on the terrace. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And I look at it and I pick it up and the thing's just chirping. It's obvious its mother has abandoned it and it's fallen out of the nest. And I'm like, oh, I'm gonna raise.
How big is it?
It was probably like that big.
Okay.
And I'm thinking I'll nurse this little guy back to health and because I love animals, you know, so I was really excited sort of. And then I looked down at its back leg, and there was a gash in it, probably about that big, like an open wound. I was like, oh, no. And then I'm looking at it, and something's moving. And I look inside the wound, and it's just swarming with maggots.
Oh, no.
There's probably 70, 80, 90 maggots inside. And I realize, oh, my God, this little guy's being eaten alive. And so now I go from being the savior to I have to mercy kill this thing, which I don't want to do. And I'm thinking, how do I do it? Do I just drop a brick on it? Do I splat it? How do I cook? Because I actually did that when I was younger. My sister had a pet mouse that got some really weird disease where its butt blew up like a cauliflower and I couldn't walk. Like it was just like, it's like leprosy meets SARS, you know? It was like.
Animals do not have good luck around you guys. God, I mean, no.
So I bought an owl. So I was like, this poor mouse, like it couldn't move its back legs. It was pulling them. It's like the back half of its body was rotted basically. And I thought, I'll go out and I'll just drop a cinder block on it. And like, I don't want to, but I can't let it live like this. So I did it and the cinder block kind of in the air, it tilted. It tilted and it kind of half clonked the thing. So now it can't walk. Its asshole looks like a cauliflower and a cinder block.
Just hit it
enough not to kill it. Okay. So now it's dragging around. And man. I'm just devastated, right?
It's like whatever some animals did, they sent them to the Williams household.
It was like watching.
Oh, God.
Yeah. It was like, it was just a nightmare. So I was like, I'm not going to drop something on this baby squirrel. In case I miss or half hit it. So I thought, what would be the most peaceful way to put it down? And I had one of those big orange Home Depot buckets, you know, the utility buckets. And I thought, I don't want to, but I'll drown it. I'll just like put it in the thing. I'll put the hose in and it'll be a soft, gentle and...
soft, gentle, soft,
gentle
exit.
Murder. Yeah. God, I feel horrible now. Should we just go out and kill a dog or something? So I put this thing down in the bucket, and I put the hose in, and I turn it on, and I don't know if I'm an idiot, but I didn't know that baby squirrels floated. So as I'm filling the bucket, Maggot Boy's floating up. He's not drowning.
He's a soldier. It's fucking
he's smart. Like, it's like you're trying to drown a life preserver. It ain't going down. And so as the thing's filling up, I'm like, oh no. And so I kind of used the hose to push him under, and this little guy's grabbing the hose and climbing up the he's with his little claws, and he's grappling up, and he comes right up, and he's like, oh, he's breathing with his buck teeth.
Looking right at him.
He's looking at him, you know, and I'm like, God, can I not kill a rodent?
Where's a fucking owl when you need one?
You know, where's the day owls? Can we get a day owl? Get some contacts and fly, you bastard.
Oh, man. Liquid IV's back, y'all, right here. I'm going to show you right now. This is it. I'm using it. It's part of my everyday morning routine. That's the tangerine one that I like right there. I didn't just litter, but it is my studio. I'll clean it up. Derek, get that. One stick of Liquid IV in 16 ounces of water hydrates faster and more efficiently than water alone. And it comes in incredible hydration flavors like watermelon, lemon, lime, strawberry, pina colada, and more. And my favorite right here is that tangerine, y'all. And it's good. Contains 5 essential vitamins, B3, B5, B6, B12, and vitamin C, with 3 times the electrolytes of traditional sports drinks. Made with premium ingredients, non-GMO, and free from gluten, dairy, and soy. And what makes Liquid IV so effective is the science of cellular transport technology, that CTT, y'all, designed to enhance rapid absorption of water and other key ingredients into the bloodstream. Grab Liquid IV in bulk nationwide at Costco, or you can get 25% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use code HONEYDEW at checkout. That's 25% off of anything you order when you use promo code HONEYDEW at liquidiv.com. Experience better hydration today at liquidiv.com, promo code HONEYDEW. Today's program is brought to you by Athletic Greens, the health and wellness company that makes comprehensive daily nutrition really, really simple. With so many stressors in life, it's difficult to maintain effective nutritional habits and give our bodies the nutrients it needs to thrive. Busy schedules, poor sleep, exercise, the environment, work stress, or simply not eating enough of the right foods can leave us deficient in key nutritional areas. I'm taking Athletic Greens every day. One tasty scoop of AG1 contains 75 vitamins, minerals, and whole food sourced ingredients, including a multivitamin, multimineral, probiotic, green superfood blend, and more in one convenient daily serving. The special blend of high quality bioavailable ingredients in a scoop of AG1 work together to fill the nutritional gaps in your diet, support energy and focus, aid with gut health and digestion, and support a healthy immune system, effectively replacing multiple products or pills with one healthy, delicious drink. Join the movement of athletes, moms, dads, rookies, first timers, and everyone in between taking ownership of their daily health and focusing on the nutritional products they really need in the simplest manner possible. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you an immune supporting free 1-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase if you visit athleticgreens.com/honeydew today. Again, simply visit athleticgreens.com/honeydew to take control of your health and give AG1 a try. For most of us, learning a second language in high school or college wasn't exactly a high point in our academic careers. All right. I took Spanish I started in eighth grade, went to like 11th. And by 11th grade, I was hitting D's in that Spanish. I wasn't even doing that great in English. Now, thanks to Babbel, the language learning app that sold more than 10 million subscriptions, there's an addictively fun and easy way to learn a new language. Whether you'll be traveling abroad, connecting in a deeper way with family, or you just have some free time, Babbel teaches bite-sized language lessons that you'll actually use in the real world. I chose Babbel because I'd gone to Mexico, and I remember taking these classes, and I was like, man, I don't know
anything outside of cacahuates and calcetines. So Babbel's 15-minute lessons make it the perfect way to learn a new language on the go. Other language learning apps use AI for their lesson plans, but Babbel lessons were created by over 100 language experts. Their teaching method has been scientifically proven to be effective. With Babbel, you can choose from 14 different languages, including Spanish, French, Italian, and German. Plus, Babbel's speech recognition technology helps you to improve your pronunciation and your accent. There are so many ways to learn with Babbel. In addition to lessons, you can also access podcasts, games, videos, stories, and even live classes. Plus, it comes with a 20-day money-back guarantee. All right, start your new language learning journey today with Babbel. Right now, when you purchase a 3-month Babbel subscription, you're going to get an additional 3 months for free. That's 6 months for the price of 3. Just go to Babbel.com and use promo code Honeydew. That's Babbel.com, code Honeydew. Babbel, language for life.
So now this guy's hanging on the hose at the top of the bucket's this deep, and now he's right at the top, right where I don't want him. And so I kind of push him down. As I'm pushing him down, I'm seeing the bubbles coming up. And I'm like, this is devastating, but it was quite the life lesson for me, not for him. And this fucking thing, maggots in its lower bodies, it just keeps climbing. It just keeps coming
Jason
up.
Jason Voorhees.
It's like here. The Jason Voorhees of squirreldom. I mean, if he came up one more time with a goalie mask on, I would have flipped out.
It won't go, man. It won't die. I love it.
But I'm sitting here going, I've never seen anything in my life clinging, wanting to live so bad. And now I'm sitting here thinking, do I pull it out now? Because I'm so... Like, even though I know it's being eaten alive, you can't, once the maggots are in there, what are you going to do? Pull them, you can't save it. And I'm just like, it was like devastating, man, because I had to, this thing that wanted so desperate, even it probably knew it was in pain and it was injured. You know, animals know that, but it just kept coming up. And eventually I just had to like hold the little guy down and it was...
Did it work? How long did it take?
Well, finally, I had to drop a cinder block in the bucket.
Wait for that.
No,
dude.
No. I finally...
Was it scratching the shit out of you and clawing the
no,
shit
out of you?
No, it was
on the hose. I was holding the hose, and it was coming up to the top of... How dare you?
You weren't two-handed under there, finally.
No, I wasn't. I wasn't holding it down. Die, bastard. Die, maggot freak. No, it made me think on a serious note, like just how precious life is. Like to see that little guy who was just it was probably only 3-4 weeks old, maybe 5, I don't know, but it wanted to live so bad. And I think about humans and I think about God bless people who become suicidal or become terminally ill or people who say, I don't want to live anymore. And just as it stuck with me, really, I still have a crystal clear vision of that thing struggling so hard to live. And it was horrible because I couldn't let it because the alternative was being eaten alive from like the lower part of its body. You could already see the flesh had turned brown and it was rotted. You could smell it. And I was just like, it doesn't know. And I'm telling you, man, it somehow instilled in me, despite how hard it was to do, it instilled in me how precious life is and how every day we've got to get out and just claw and embrace it. And because in a way, metaphorically, the world eats away at us from the inside on psychological levels and things like that. But there was something really profound that stuck with me, as horrible as it was to put him down. I hope I did the right thing and put him out of his misery.
I think you did, yeah.
But in doing that, that little creature taught me a lesson about just the sanctity of life and the power of being alive, and to see something that obviously they don't think at the level humans do, but to see its desire to just want to live. And you know, it's heartbreaking, but it was very powerful, and it it's still, it's one of the few things in life that I think about that really tortures me, to be honest.
I think animals teach you a lot about death. You know, my brother told me this story. This is an unfortunate one that you'll probably enjoy, but a neighbor dog of theirs got rabies and it ran and it buried itself under, it dug a hole and buried itself under the front sidewalk of my brother's house. So it's going under the house to die.
Oh, wow.
But it's today. It ain't gonna die for a long time. So they have to kill it.
Right.
The neighbor comes over and they have to put a shotgun underneath the house and they shoot this damn dog to kill this dog. And now they got to get the fucking thing out of there. And they're fishing, like trying to lasso a paw, anything they can to get it. They're taking, it took them hours to do this.
Whoa.
Because this dog decided, I'm going under and I don't want to, this is how I want to go, you know?
But that's interesting because rabies is a disease that makes animals like aggressive.
Mm-hmm. It was aggressive, but it went under the fucking house and wasn't letting you get it. Like they couldn't pull it out.
But what, wouldn't it just want to come out and like attack them?
I don't know.
Maybe it didn't have rabies after all.
Maybe. Maybe you're on to something.
Maybe it was just depressed.
Depressed.
Maybe it just didn't like the way it was being raised. Like, fuck these guys. I don't get walks. I don't get wet dog food.
It could have been.
That sidewalk's looking real
nice. I'm only
nice.
Reporting. Yeah. I'm just telling you the story I know.
Wow. Yeah. It's anytime you lose an animal, man. Have you ever hit an animal on the road?
Oh, man. I'll tell you what. I've hit two that really stuck with me.
Boy.
I hit a cat one time.
Whoa.
That I remember seeing in my rear view just back spinning on the road. And I was like, oh, man, I felt awful. But this other time, I hit a bird. And it flew right into the fucking grill, and I nailed it. Now, I'm leaving L.A. to go to Big Bear, and I drive straight shot. Get up there about 2 hours, and I'm like, man, that fucking bird's probably all over the front of this fucking car. If not, it went in that grill, and it cooked all in there.
Oh, God.
And I go around to the front of the car, and we get there, and there's nothing. I was like, oh, man. And I'm waiting to pop the hood to see this mutilated bird all over the engine. And Harlan Williams, I popped that motherfucking hood, and that bird
flew off.
Now look, it was 2 hours away wherever the fuck it was, but it had a new lease on life.
Oh, man.
I just kept picturing that bird had to be hiding in that hot ass engine for 2 hours and stayed away from all the moving parts and everything that could have killed that fucking thing.
That's a running gauntlet.
It miraculously flew in that through the grill. It was a miracle.
How big was it? Was it a little like sparrow?
Like a little sparrow.
Wow.
Yeah. Another time, my stepson over there, our cat. It fucking brought a bird in the house.
Yeah.
And his mom kept saying, it's a bird. I was like, it's not a bird. And I was like, oh, shit, it is a bird. So I, you know, cats want to bring you their prize. And like, look what I brought you. Yeah. So I rolled it up in a little dish towel. And I said to Derek, I go, you can come with me if you want. I'm going to be straight up with you. Because he was young at the time. And I was like, this thing's either dead and nothing's going to happen. Or you're about to witness a miracle. And he's like, I'm going to stay here. I'm not going. I said, okay. And I went out on the sidewalk and I rolled that fucking towel out and that bird, I'll never forget it. It got up, it shook itself off like a dog, you know what I mean? Like, ugh, and then poof, off into the night.
Wow.
So I've had a couple lucky ones.
That's good.
Yeah.
I had one once where I laughed so hard I almost like went off the road, and that sounds really mean, but sometimes life throws you things and you don't have any control. And this is a horrible story. But I couldn't control. You know, sometimes when you see an old lady trip or someone walk into a window or something like that, physical humor, and you know they're in pain, but you can't. It just triggers. I think humans are triggered by physical comedy or tragedy or whatever you want to call it. And I was driving once and I hit like a ground squirrel. I was driving a van. But I just clipped it. Like I didn't run over it.
Yeah.
But it's like the side of my tire just kind of must have hit it in the head or something.
Yeah.
And I looked in the rearview mirror and it was convulsing on the road. Like it was like spasming out, like all, like it was just like, it looked like an electric cable was loose. And just seeing that, I burst out loud. Like I felt so guilty, but it just looked physically so funny. Like it looked like it was having a seizure and it was just flipping around and it. Just weird.
What about in Toronto? Because in Maryland, especially out in the county, we had a ton of deer. Did you have any deer running through
Tons of deer. Oh. I never ran into a deer, but...
My lady, I consider my mom, just hit a fucking deer, and she's lucky. That thing went hit the windshield and then flew over the the roof.
And they're landed on the next car?
No, this one died. This one didn't make it. But a lot of times they will. They'll fuck your car up and they'll keep running.
Yeah, there's a whole, out in the Midwest there, that the insurance industry runs on deer hits. I actually was researching it once, and there's a huge amount of deaths every year from deer kills, and there's something like $300 million worth of damage caused by deers every year. It's a huge thing.
I once read somewhere in that there were more car accidents caused by deer in Pennsylvania than car hitting car.
Probably, yeah.
That's nuts.
They're nuts, man. They're not smart. They just run out clueless.
So we've shared two animal deaths now. This is an episode about three deaths. I think that's what we're going to call this. Three deaths with Harlan Williams.
Nice.
Share the third death with us, please.
Wow. The third one is a human death. And we've all experienced death. We've all been to a funeral. But I don't know how many of your viewers have watched somebody die. And that's a powerful thing. And a few years back, probably, I guess about 3, maybe 4 years ago, I watched a guy die. And...
You knew?
It wasn't someone I knew. It was a very unusual circumstance. I was at the Burning Man Festival. And at on the second last night of the Burning Man Festival, they have a giant, like a 70, 80 foot wooden man that they light on fire. That's called the concept behind Burning Man is when the man goes on fire, it releases all your baggage and all your inner demons, and they're supposed to all go up with the smoke, and it's a very ritualistic thing. You've got 70,000 people in the desert, and on the second last night, they all form a giant circle around the man. It's quite a distance because they know they're gonna light it on fire. But
I've seen the pictures of that thing. It's massive.
It's massive. Yeah. But being there, the energy is unbelievable. And I don't know, you've probably seen like the original King Kong or even one of the remakes. There's the scene where Faye Ray or whoever the girl is in the movie is tied to the trees, and King Kong's about to come through the trees, and all the natives are playing the drums and waving the fire. And so at Burning Man, pre-lighting the man, they have all this fanfare. They have big rows of people with drums, and they have people twirling fire torches and marching with torches. It's all orchestrated, of course, but it's very primal. It feels like some kind of, you know, ancient tribal ritual almost, and the rhythm of the and it's, you're waiting for this giant, you know, they lift the arms, the man moves, and so it's almost very King Kong-ish, you know, and you're kind of caught in this kind of euphoria of it. And so they obviously make you sit back a certain amount because of the intense heat. This when they light the man, the flames go up 100 feet high.
Is that high? Damn.
You know, 80, 90, 100 feet wide. It's a huge inferno.
How close can you get and start to feel that?
Let's just put it this way. We were sitting like back the length of probably 3/4 of a football field. Mm-hmm. And on that night, we almost had to stand up and move back.
Wow.
Because the heat was, it's so intense.
Damn,
You know, you're in a flat desert, and there's nothing around. And there's no safety fences. They have a few fire people like in kind of like asbestos fire gear, like kind of standing closer, like just kind of setting up a perimeter. And this is my third time at Burning Man. And so I kind of, bless.
Sorry, I had to clear my throat.
No problem. But you kind of know what you're getting. And it's really a beautiful event, actually. And as the man started to burn, probably mid-burn before it collapsed, out of all these 70,000 people, some guy sitting right by us just stood up and ran towards the Burning Man. But now he's like right in front of us. And
he's sprinting like toward it?
He's sprinting, but have you ever seen these guys at sporting events when they jump on the field?
Yeah.
Some of them take and they run. It's not just, they don't know where they're going, right. so they're jumping and they're kind of getting the fans all pumped up. It's like a game. So this guy's now doing this with the people around the fire guys. And they're trying to, and they almost grab him, and he's almost like prancing. It looked like almost like a fairy tale, like watching a sprite dancing in front of a flame. He looked like he was having so much fun, and he was eluding them, and the crowd was even cheering. They're like, yeah, every time he got away. This went on for about maybe a minute and a half. And then in the midst of his euphoria and kind of the energy he whipped up, he just like turned towards the fire, ran, and literally did this and dove in.
No.
Dove in, like right in front of us. And I instantly went, oh, he's dead, you know, because it just to breathe in that heat,
yeah,
it would incinerate your lungs. And so he goes, and the fire guys are like, the whole crowd just went silent. And one of a couple of these brave fire guys, they went in, and at the very tip, because they were wearing this stuff, and they dragged him out, and you just saw this smoldering body being dragged along the ground. And then they got him far and just let him go, and an ambulance came. And
so they call it Burning Men now?
Now, when his dog came to get...
I like how your comment already starts with my dog. Listen, I have to be careful because I'm telling you, we have an owl in the neighborhood. My dog goes out at night and pees and poops. And I stand out there and make sure that
how
motherfucker...
How big's your dog?
You met her. She's out there.
Oh, tiny
thing. That owl will take her right off. I know.
Not.
I stand out there with her.
My
dog
wasn't much smaller than that.
No, I'm out there. Yeah, I don't let her go by herself.
Yeah.
It's quick. I know they can... Before
they
I can even
leave,
turn around and gone. I know.
They just swoop.
All right, sorry, my joke about Burning Man.
No, that's
so you watch this guy dive in, and do you? Can I? I mean, does he just incinerate, or do you hear screams? Do you hear nothing?
It was sort of silent, and it was funny because the crowd went from chanting for the guy to everyone just went silent. There was like this shock, and I remember only half of us saw because the others were on the other side, but a lot of people witnessed this . And there was no screaming, and he didn't ignite, but they pulled him out, and it was so intense that you could see his body was smoldering.
Yeah, you're right. That smoke and heat and everything would just melt your lungs.
Yeah, you couldn't even breathe.
Holy shit.
And so we went from having this incredible festive fun week to this moment. I was sitting with about 15, 16 other people, and it was just like, and again, it really was hard to make sense of it because this guy looked like he was on cloud nine. You know, it looked like, and we don't know if it was drug induced or he was just suicide, but he looked like the happiest guy you'd ever seen. And in the blink of an eye, he was gone. And it was really weird. And the people I were with, I could tell everyone was just scatterbrained. Everyone was just like, you didn't know where to look. You didn't know what to say. And I kind of took a bit of a leadership stance in that moment. And I knew that, at least for myself, psychologically, this was going to be something hard to process. And so I just grabbed everyone instinctively. I said, I don't know if any of you guys believe in God. I don't know if you pray, what you believe. But I said, I think we're all going to need this. And I said, let's hold hands. And I said a prayer for that guy because it was like, you know, you think about how we feel about passing on. Some of us picture the soul moving into another afterlife or another portal. But that's always after the fact, you know, but it was right here. And I felt like maybe we need to come together and help this guy or at least acknowledge this guy or say something. And I know I needed it. I don't, if the other ones might have thought
Why did you need it?
Because It was a man. It was a person, you know? And to me, people are so powerful. Like, human beings are, we have 20 million stories going on every second we're alive. Even just sitting here, even when you're sitting quiet, everybody's mind is processing and thinking and creating. And we have these long lives that, you know, maybe they're short into the context of the universe, but the things we all experience, whether it's the first time you pee, the first time you get a job, the first time you think hateful thoughts, the first time you think loving thought, like we're these detailed, intricate stories. And to see one just vanish in the blink of an eye, it's I didn't know his story, but I right. knew he had millions of stories. And so I felt like I needed to help.
Isn't it crazy also that the greatest story he could probably tell is one that he's not going to be around to tell?
Yeah, maybe.
You know what I mean?
Maybe, yeah.
What a story to be like, oh, I dove in the fucking Burning Man one time. Like, how the hell are you here to tell that story?
I know. It's weird. It's a big story. And yeah, so it's just something I believe there's a bigger power, a bigger energy out there. And,
agreed.
And whether you want to call it God or the forces of the universe or gravity love. Or air or love, sure. whatever you want. But I really believe in the power of human energy and just energy in the universe. And somehow I felt like it was important for me. And I thought, even if these people don't believe in anything, maybe this moment of us praying for him or channeling energy for him will later on come around and be helpful to them. I even said that to him. I said, I don't know if you guys will need this now, but maybe it'll help down the road. And I don't know if it did or not, but it helped me. I mean, I was able to release a lot of sorrow and confusion and sadness for this person, you know? But then maybe there was something in it too where he wanted to go. Maybe it was time to go. And I also thought, I tried to get in his head and I go, what if this is the most beautiful way,
what a way to go?
100-foot inferno. You know how we all sit at a campfire and we just stare, we're mesmerized. And I thought, what if this is the opening for him to go to the next place? And so I didn't chalk it up as I know, oh, he was depressed or maybe that was the most beautiful moment.
I'm with you. What if that also is the portal to wherever the fuck he's yeah. going next? You got to dive into that motherfucker, shed that thing, and you're over there now.
Sometimes it's, you know, I'll tell you a story, and it goes back to animals. I was on safari in Africa years ago.
Oh, man, you did that? I would never.
I've done it a few times. Me and my cousin went out one morning just in an open Land Rover by ourselves and our guide, and we're fortunate enough, we're in one of these remote safari camps where it's not 30 people in a thing clicking camera, and we were in a place where you're allowed to go off-road and just drive through the wilderness. You don't have to stick to the trail, so it was amazing, and we happened to come upon two male lions that had just made a kill. Like, literally, they probably took it down 5 minutes before we got there. And they were in the middle of eating a wildebeest carcass. And our guide pulled up and stopped the truck. And these two male lions just stood up and walked halfway towards us. And I had the video camera going. And I'm like, oh, this is cool. But then they just locked on me. Like, their big golden eyes just locked on me. And I'm telling you, Ryan, my hand started shaking.
Like, I'll bet.
The power in those that beasts, stare. Like that stare, the majesty and the intensity and the unbridled viciousness, they don't know that they're vicious. They just know that they're wired to live and hunt and kill. And it's not, there's no malice, there's no cruelty. That's what they're wired to do. And so I was just like, but then I had a moment where I saw these two things. That if they wanted to be in our open air vehicle, they could have ran and been in on us in probably in about 2.5 seconds. But they don't do that because they see the vehicle as something other than flesh, and they don't really get it. But something in me went, I saw these beautiful, strong, tall things with the manes and the golden eyes, and I'm not, I told my cousin this like last time we were together and he goes, what's wrong with you? I said, Kevin, you know, there was a moment when I thought about putting down the camera and I just wanted to jump out and rush those things and grab them and go, if this is how I die, what a way to go. How'd he die? Oh, he attacked a lion.
He attacked
a fucking king of the beast. Two of them. And I'm not kidding. I thought, what a fucking way.
It would be epic.
I know I'm going to go, but to run at those and see the look in their eyes like, what the fuck? Is that a guy from the valley? Like
the valley.
Just and grab that and ride it. I mean, they'd be chomping down. Ride it. What a way to go. You know what I mean?
It would be a way to go.
So who knows? Maybe this guy, this fire was his, was beautiful to him. But for me, it was very hard to watch a human soul go in that moment and have no say in it and have to be witness to it.
And not even sure what's really happening. It's not like that guy's screaming and darting the whole way. And you're like, oh, my God.
He looked happy. He looked engaged.
I'll share an animal death with you that I think is one of the most beautiful, amazing, unique deaths, I would say, of probably any animal, to be honest. I don't know if you remember the pitcher Randy Johnson.
Yeah.
In spring training for the Arizona Diamondbacks, when he was pitching, he accidentally killed a dove.
Yeah, it flew right into his ball. Yeah, right.
And
right.
He killed it.
Yeah, and then the feathers blew up everywhere. Looked like
it was its own fireworks. Yeah. It died in its own fireworks show. And I think about that dove all the time. First of all, dove is a symbol of peace. This is a peaceful animal. It fucked Randy Johnson up for a while. I think he's got a company about it now or something. But
I bet he doesn't bathe with dove soap, I'll tell you that.
It's spring training. I think about it all the time. And I wonder if that bird among its group, however it communicated, they're like, maybe it had fucking cancer. Maybe it wasn't going to make it. And they were like, nah, man, this is spring training. He was like, nah, it's my day today. And I think that bird timed that shit out. And really? Boom, into its own. You know how many doves have been killed by a Randy Johnson fastball? One. How many doves have been on this planet? Probably billions.
Right.
How many doves out there can say, yeah, it wasn't an accident?
I took it from an all-star.
The best.
Wow.
Yeah, and went out in its own fireworks show.
Wow.
But that is, you talk about lights out. Yeah. It was lights. That bird was just sore, and then just black, like Tony Soprano. Yeah. You know what I mean? Just light switch.
Oh, yeah, there were feathers. It looked like a fat chick sat on a pillow at Bed Bath & Beyond, and it just, boom. Like
it's just. That's a glorious, beautiful death.
Yeah, I guess
death. And I hear what you're saying to that, like, yeah, you'd be an absolute moron to do it, but what a way to fucking go.
Yeah.
Ripped a lot. And also, like, again, I'm reminded of the power of these fucking beasts because there was a video I saw. I think it was an Indian guy that had jumped down into a tiger cage in a zoo.
Oh, yeah.
And he was just sitting there crying. And they sort of looked at him for a while. Yeah. Like, what? And then a couple of them looked at each other like, fuck it, let's eat it. And they grabbed that man. One of them by the neck, and I mean sprinted, like galloping to the back of that thing. This is a grown adult by the neck with just its jaws, like it was a rag doll.
Super powerful.
And then they all ate him alive.
Yeah, yeah.
Fuck, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, it's strange. It's powerful and just death is it's weird. It's tough how you process it, and it's something we all have to see and deal with. And I remember when I was a kid, the first time I ever saw a dead body, I had to go to my grandfather's funeral. I was probably 9, and I remember just seeing his body laying there, and it was an open casket, and I was a little kid, so I didn't. And I just started like patting his head, like I said, "Oh, Grandpa," you know, like I couldn't believe he was there, but just motionless, and I'm just like. You know, it's weird, and it's very strange.
Yeah, the first dead body I saw was my great-grandma Cookie, in her fucking parlor back in the day in her house. It was an old Italian lady. They came over from Italy, and she died, and they laid her out in the fucking house.
For the funeral?
That was like the viewing.
Oh,
you
geez.
Come by the house and she's laid out and she's sleeping in there. You know what I mean? Yeah. I remember them sending me up to sleep with a Cookie Monster. That Cookie Monster fucking stuck with me. But that was the first dead body. I remember touching it and feeling how cold yeah. and just fake and the rosary wrapped around yeah. the hands and just like, I don't know. I get it, but I don't fucking get yeah. it. Like, yeah. I get that this seems final. Everyone's black, wearing black and crying. And
yeah.
But to be laid out in the fucking house in the old yeah. days, like in the parlor. I'm like, what yeah. are you fucking, what? In the house?
And that was before Scotchgard.
It was before Scotchgard.
I mean, the stains. God. But it was an Italian house, so it's probably plastic on everything anyway. Okay, yeah.
What an episode, Harlan Williams. Man. All right, so before we wrap up yeah. here, now that we've talked about quite a bit of death.
Yeah, yeah.
I ask every guest if I can remember, and sometimes yes. I forget, but I remember. What advice you would give to your 16-year-old self?
What advice I would give to my 16-year-old self? I would say... It's interesting, Ryan, because I've lived one of these lives where I came up with a motto when I was young, because I saw a lot of people when I was young just letting life pass them by or consume them. And I came up with my own motto, live life, don't let life live you.
I like that.
And I'm one of these people in life that went after all my dreams and attained most of them. And it was merely because I decided at a young age to go after what I wanted and mold my life into what I wanted it to be. I didn't wait for life to happen to me. I pursued life. I pursued the things I wanted in life. And so I would say to my younger self, live life. Don't let life live you.
Dude, that's fucking great.
Yeah.
That's great advice.
Yeah.
Thank you for doing the show. Thank you for being so open and honest and finding something to laugh about in that ugly-ass mess.
Well, you know, that's what I liked about your show, because I knew it would be tough to talk about some of this thing. But in closing, I'll say this. You know, I've never been to a funeral where I didn't lean over and crack a joke to someone. Humor and darkness is what helps make us get through being humor. And sometimes it feels insensitive to laugh about it, but there's a deeper psychological methodology behind laughing at the dark stuff. And
absolutely.
So today was actually, Brian, a little therapeutic for me, because these three things are things that play in my mind a lot. And to come out and sit here with you and laugh at them and release, look at them in a lighter way, it's actually helpful. So thank you,
brother. Please, again, promote everything and anything you'd like.
Oh, yeah. So you can buy one of my hand-drawn T-shirts at harbling.com, harbling.com. And if we're sold out of the actual print, the actual real drawing, you can order print. And I guess check my website, harlanwilliams.com, for my stand-up comedy tours. And lastly, hit me up on Instagram, Harlan Williams. I'm always putting up funny videos, because while we're in this life, I try to offer laughter to people, and that's what I put on my Instagram.
I love it, dude. Awesome. As always, RyanSickler.com, Ryan Sickler on all social media. We'll talk to y'all next week.